2 Timothy chapter number 1, if you have found it, if you please stand with me, we'll read these verses responsively. We'll read down through verse number 7. I'll begin in verse number 1. You can join me on the even verses this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Let's finish up together on verse number 7. Ready? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We pray, Lord, that it would be helpful in our life, that we would give it the attention, Lord, that it deserves during this time. We pray you'd bless it. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Well, what a sobering thought that is, huh? To be lost in this world and not knowing the way and think you're on the right path, but not really knowing and not being either taught or humble enough to find out what the truth is. Thank God for salvation, amen. The grace of God, yes, and praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles there, we're going to look at another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I usually don't do this on Sunday morning, but this morning I'm going to give you a list. A list. Hazel, it's good to see you, Miss Hazel. We were down in Florida looking for you. We were trying to bring you home. You're already up here. It's good to see you. I'm going to give you a list this morning of things. So I'm not asking you to like to write them down, but after we were down in Florida and were able to see our daughter, I got thinking about these verses here, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I guess all of us, you know, if we were all honest, we would all like to leave our children $1 million. The truth is probably the worst thing you could ever do for your children. But all of us have that desire to want our children's lives to be better, to want our children's lives to be less of a struggle than ours were educationally, financially, all of that. You know, after a while, you begin to realize it's the struggle that makes the man. It's the struggle. The life of ease and the life of comfort does not create in people the character that you see in, like, the greatest generation. You know why they're the greatest? It wasn't because they had every little gadget and every comfort. It's because they learned the value of hard work, of honesty, of character. That's why the greatest generation. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the importance of leaving behind when you go, leaving behind the most valuable thing that you could leave your children or your grandchildren. It cannot be counted. It cannot be measured. You cannot see it. In the age that we live, it's so materialistic. Amen. And it's so bound up in thinking that materialistic things are going to create happiness in life, in the lives of people. I'm here to tell you this morning that the things of our life that are of real value are overshadowed by the temporal things. The things that really matter in a person's life are second seemingly to the things that really are superficial, visual, are for the comfort of us, but really don't create a good value in life. And so this morning, The message is to try to get you to consider to leave your children a godly inheritance.
Yeah.
It takes work. It takes time. It's an investment. When you say the word inheritance, you know, all of us think of a financial windfall or a financial gain. You think of stocks and bonds and real estate and money and lands and all that. But truth is the most valuable thing that I believe you can leave your children are not those things.
Amen.
And, you know, our daughter lives in Florida now and she's married, and we went to church with her on a Wednesday night, and I thought, what's the most valuable thing I could give her? I thought, it's not money. It's instilling her a fear of God and a desire for the things that really matter in this life. And so let me give you a few things. How do you give someone a godly inheritance? How do you give it to them? Well, it's over time. It's through persuasion. It's through demonstration. It's through a pattern. It really begins, where's Miss Mayer? Is Ann in here? Or is Ann in the nursery? Ann. It begins right now when you have a child brought into your life. It begins right then. That child is given to you as a blank slate. And you begin to pour yourself into that child. That's where an inheritance begins. It's when you begin to pour love and time and effort. And when you begin to pour yourself, that child becomes you after you begin to invest in them. And it begins as a child, as a young person. You say, well, Pastor, I'm here and I haven't had a child in my house in 69 years. I can go to sleep. This message ain't for me. Well, if you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren, can we stop right there? Do we have anyone else that's beyond that? You can influence people. You can have a great impact in the lives of people. And it may not be the fact that you can leave them 10,000 or 20,000 or 50,000 or 100,000. If we go farther than that, I want you to know I'm up for adoption. $200,000. You say, well, I just can't do that. Let me say that. That's not the real true riches. Those are not the most important things you can leave to somebody. Most people that receive an inheritance, most people either squander it.
Yep.
It changes them.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. No, I won't. If you've ever received an inheritance, chances are, if you're not old time, if you're not old school, if you're not of the old mindset, you probably have regrets on how you spent that. Because all of a sudden you ran into $25,000, you thought that, man, it's going to change my life. And you spent it, and now you look back and think, man, I wish I still had that. And so it does strange things to people. You see the emotional, materialistic, selfish, greedy, envious emotions come out in people when grandpa dies. And grandpa's got a little bit of stuff. Or dad dies. People change.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I could stand here and give you testimony after testimony of people that have passed away and the children just like overnight turned. I mean, they're all trying to get what they can and figure out who gets what. And anyways, all right. So it begins when you're born. The kind of inheritance you can leave your children can go to your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. My dad, September 24, 2009, my stepdad passed away. And probably, humanly speaking, as far as a role model, he was the man role model in my life. And when he was dying of cancer, and we were trying to visit him as much as we could, and I told Dad, I said, Dad, you left me the greatest inheritance that anyone could ever receive. And my dad didn't leave me a penny. But what my dad did give me was throughout a lifetime, he instilled in me some things that would benefit me my whole life.
Amen.
He poured himself into me. And nobody can take it. And it'll probably never be used up. And it'll benefit me for the rest of my life. The qualities that he's instilled in me. Let me give you a list of things that I believe. If you want to leave an inheritance to your children that's really going to affect their life and make a difference in their life, I believe, first of all, it begins with a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes a conscience effort to try to instill in them that salvation is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you.
Amen.
That when you got saved, that was the most precious thing that you have.
Yes, sir.
You've got to transfer that to your children, your grandchildren. They need to hear that from you. They're not going to know that. They're not going to know it's in your heart unless when you spend time with them, you remind them that there was a day where I met Jesus Christ and I became a child of God.
Amen.
And you, in order to instill a real desire in them to follow Lord Jesus Christ, you have to speak about following Christ.
Right.
You have to talk to them about the desire you have to please Jesus and to live for Him. And it's the greatest thing in the whole world. Look at, I don't want, we don't have grandchildren yet, but you know, it's getting close. so you think this vacation was long. Man, you wait till the grandchild comes, we'll be gone for about 6 months at a time. Just send the checks down to the P.O. box down in Florida. But look at, it's not about bringing your kids to church. You do not instill that desire to follow Jesus just by bringing them once or twice or three times and putting them in a building. It's when you go home. It's what you talk about. It's what they see your passion is. It's what they see your love is. It's what they see you're all about. That's all of a sudden when they begin to realize that's a priority to mom and dad. That's valuable to mom and dad. If it's all I'm going to stay on that side of the coin and not take all afternoon. Number two is instill in your children a reverence for the Word of God. Just a reverence for the Word of God. That book right there is the best thing in my life.
Amen.
It's the most precious thing you can ever own. You know, the worst thing you can do for your child as far as creating a desire in them for the Lord is to criticize that book right there.
That's right. Come on.
Is to question that book right there. And the worst thing you can do is to instill in your children to say things that would make them to think that thing is anything other than, that is all, if we didn't have that book right there, we wouldn't know about true love.
That's right.
We wouldn't know about joy. We wouldn't know about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Without that book right there, that book's a precious book.
Yes.
Now before they even get up and growing, is they should start knowing that's a special book right there.
Yeah.
We have them around our house. I would suggest to you have multiple book Bibles around your house if you have children. We have them in all the rooms. Almost all the rooms. They need to know that book right there is important.
Yes.
It's just not a book that we pick up and go to church with.
Amen.
But that right. book's important.
Yes.
And they need to see that. And it needs to be instilled in them. And it's over a lifetime of them seeing the importance. Don't criticize it. It's not a waste of time to read it. And, we know of salvation. We know of everlasting life because of the Bible.
Yes.
I want our children to know is that's who we are. That's what I am. That's what I'm all about. All about God.
Praise the Lord.
So my life revolves, not because I'm a pastor, it's because that's what I am. I'm a Christian. This is my book.
Hallelujah.
These are my marching orders. This is my, sorry about that, folks. You were sleeping there. I've got to have the Bible. They need to know, they need to see mom and dad reading the Bible.
Amen.
Talking about the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the reason we're doing this is because this is what God says.
Yeah.
Is we need to teach them a reverence for the Bible.
Amen.
Even when they're young,
yes, sir.
They need to know that's a special book. We give the babies here in the church, we give the parents their first Bible. And I always appreciate seeing the kids, they get up 2, 3 years old, they bring that Bible to church, they got that little New Testament with their name on it. Boy, by the time they're 3 or 4, that thing looks like it's been through World War. I mean, I don't know if they've been gnawing on it or what, but that little book that was that thick's about this thick and, man, but that's their Bible. And they bring that Bible to church and it's special. Although they know very little about the Bible, they need to know that we reverence that book. That's the Word of God. And, you say, Pastor, I don't know a lot about the Bible. How do I instill in my children, my grandchildren, the Bible? Just learn to reverence and elevate the Word of God. That's God's book. That's the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Say, well, I can't, I don't know much about it. You don't have to know much about it other than that's the Word of God right there.
Right.
You say, well, what if they ask me a question? Well, the answer's in there. You can find them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know a lot more about the Bible than you think you know about the Bible. You know a lot about it.
Mom.
Okay, thou shalt not steal. You know where you learned that? It's from the Bible.
That's right.
You know that. You know about morality. You know a lot of things that are contained. You may not be able to turn to the pages in it. But you can hold that up to your children and say, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
The reason we don't do that is because God says not to do that. And learn to reverence the Word of God. Help the young people, your children, your grandchildren, help them to realize that the Word of God is set apart more than any book in the world. There's no human opinion that's greater than that book. There's no scientific evidence that could ever discount what's in that book.
Amen.
This is elevated above all human reasoning, any amount of intelligence. The Word of God stands alone. It's always true.
Yeah.
And they need to know that as young children. So give them a copy of it and elevate that. And be careful of the time that you allow your children to spend in front of the TV versus around the Bible,
yeah,
learning Bible stories. Television has hurt our nation terribly.
Amen.
Now it's the internet now is introduced. But you know that television offers you nothing spiritually?
That's right.
Except for maybe a few things. But really adds nothing to your spiritual life. And you know that.
Yep.
It's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's amusement. It's put her in neutral and, the dial tone. Just watch it. At best, the television criticizes God.
That's right.
Criticizes the Bible. It demeans it. So be careful of what you allow your children to watch on television that would criticize the Bible. Teach your children to listen to God. Now this is important, and I want you to listen to me. And get this down. Teach your children to listen to God. There's a lot of stuff in our country now that's being taught in churches about listening to God. The way you listen to God, there's only two avenues whereby we communicate with God: prayer and the Bible.
Yes, sir.
That's it. So the way I get my children to listen to God or teach them to listen to God is they would listen to what God says through His book, the Word of God. That's what God says. And if they can do all that God says in the Bible, if they would do that, they're going to learn to be happy Christians. They don't need some extra revelation. You know, people say today, well, God told me. And I always think, God told you what? I talked to a lady years ago, a sweet lady, a Christian lady. No doubt about it, her testimony, she was saved. She says, Pastor, she says, God told me to go back to the Catholic Church. Now, what do you say about that? God told you that, huh? I said, well, could I just share a few verses from the Bible with you? And I just want to share a few verses from the Bible. And so, shared just a few verses from the Bible. And I says, well, that's what the Bible says. I'm not sure what you, God is telling you. I don't know if you had too many anchovies on your pizza. I don't know what, but I do know what God says, and I would rather stick with what God says rather than feeling like, you know, God told me this. Look, teach your children to listen to the Bible.
Good.
Thou shalt not. I mean, there's a lot of things that God tells us. Let's just stick to the Bible.
Amen.
So teach your children to listen to God. Teach your children to pray. Teach through a pattern of obedience to your children. Teach them to obey God by your pattern.
Yeah.
In other words, the reason we do what we do is because God says it, and we do it all the time. We go to church every Sunday because it's the first day of the week, and it's when God's people assemble, and God told us not to forsake the assembling, so we go to church every Sunday. It's a good pattern to teach your children. And so teach them by way of pattern. Obedience is demonstrated. Obedience is just not, you just don't tell your children, you have to show your children. People catch more than what is taught to them. They have to see it. They have to see how it works. They have to see mom and dad obeying what God says. So teach your children and leave them the importance of obedience in your life. Young people need to see faith that is stronger than any trials of life. Look, when hardships come and difficult times come, your children, your grandchildren need to see that your faith is stronger than that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to trust the Lord. That's what we're going to do. My children need to see that when mom and dad, when everything hit the fan with mom and dad, they just trust the Lord. Man, they just stuck with the Lord. I mean, they didn't try anything different. They weren't conniving. They weren't trying to. They just said, you know what? The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Amen.
God, I got some issues. I got some problems here. Lord, I'm not sure what's going on in my life right now, but God, I trust You.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust You through this. God, I know You've got the answer for this. We're just going to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
We're not going to quit church. We're not going to get mad at God's people. We're just going to trust the Lord. Look at when you're dead and gone, and your kids or grandkids or great grandkids, those are the things that are going to be instilled in their hearts.
Yep.
They're the things they're going to look back in, and they're going to say, "Boy, man, I remember Dad. Well, things got tough with Dad. I know what he said. God's in control. God's in control. He didn't get mad at people. That's demonstrated through a lifetime. Look, leaving a godly inheritance is not easy. It would be easy to go out and work 9 jobs and leave some moolah to your children. Leaving a godly inheritance is demonstrated through a lifetime of obedience and faith and conveying that to the children. These are the true riches. This is the most important thing in life. God is priority above all things. It's through a lifetime. Through a lifetime. Number next is learn as a Christian to have a forgiving heart. Look, the only way you can forgive someone is if you've been wronged. Okay? There is freedom in forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
And you say, boy, if I'm going to teach my children the importance and the value of forgiveness, that means someone has to someone's got to talk about me. Someone has to mistreat me. Someone has to lie about me. Someone has to do something to me so I can forgive them. So forgiveness is all about. I mean, the first time someone does something bad to you, you start talking bad about them. You're not demonstrating forgiveness. If it's known among your children, if it's known that some things were said or done, that's the opportunity you have to say, you know what? When I look to Calvary and I see how much Jesus forgave me, how can I forgive them?
Yeah.
They're just sinners. They're just sinning. Learn to practice forgiveness in your life. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Leave the inheritance of... Ready for this? An ordered life. God is a God of order. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed they can predict when that orange thing pops up in the sky every day? You know, they're pretty good at predicting. We went to a planetarium. You know, you go in those places and perfect temperature, nice and cool. And they put the seat back and you go to sleep. No. The guy behind us was snoring, man. He just went out when we got in there. All the lights go out, you know, and all of a sudden the constellations and there. You know, you go to one of those things, you see, boy, God's ordered. I mean, you can see how the Big Dipper, I mean, you can see how everything is just very predictable. Look at, learn to live an ordered life. Order your life. Live on purpose. Schedule your life. That means as far as rising and sleeping and what you do between those times, order your life.
Amen.
Order your home. You shouldn't have to crawl over your couch when you come in the front door to go sit at your dining room table. Teach your children the importance of order. Order your kitchen. Order whatever you have, it should be ordered. God is orderly. Now, I hate to say this because I'm good and bad at this, but the garage you have, fellas, or the car that you drive, you know, it should be orderly because that's the way God is. So that's just not me, preacher. You know, I keep the extra son of a baconator underneath my seat there and extra Coke underneath that seat. And, you know, that's not the way. Look, we want our children to know that life is ordered. It's the way we live. We get up. We do this. We make our beds. We get dressed for the day. We accomplish a task. We ordered. Leave that to your children. There's nothing worse than children that live chaotic lives. Just random. Let's do this for a while. Oh, we're going to do that. I don't think we'll go over here and do this for a while. Who's that? Whose testimony is that? Okay, all right. Teach your children to be ordered. Look, in this time we live, it's important to be ordered in our time. In our finances, in our, let's get them ordered. Let's get them structured. Let's get our life structured. Number next is learn to teach your children the importance of generosity. Don't be a tight-fisted Christian. Be generous. Now, I know about budget and I know keeping things in, but look, don't be so tight-fisted that you can't ever help anybody or you can't give a little extra as far as that. Learn the importance of passing down sincere love. Sincere love. You know, you got one grandma over here and one grandma over here. And the kids go to this grandmother's house over here and she's a little persnickety, and the kid's kind of getting in her way, and she's a little concerned about the coffee table, things around the coffee table, and she's a little uptight about the grandkids coming around, and she's a little nervous when they come around, and you get a grandmother over here, that man, she just loves them grandkids. Man, they can come in, and give them a big old hug, and she loves on them. Do you know who the grandkids like, the house they like to go to? The one that gives the love. I mean, I can still, my grandmother on my stepdad's side, she was from Italy, spoke very, very little English. Big round woman, Grandma Pulsini, big, always had an apron on, always all stained. I don't know, she never washed it or what, but every time we went there, it's like, wow, Grandma, that's just all stained up. When you went to Grandma Pulsini's house, I mean, she was always so grateful that you came. And Dad would bring all of us six rugrats over there, and I think it was every Saturday for a few hours we'd go over there, and Grandma's always in the kitchen, always, I don't know, soaking beans, or I don't know, she was always cooking something. And we'd come to the door, and Grandma would always, oh, grandkids, oh, come. Everyone had to go in the house, which, you know, when you're 7, 8 years old, you don't want to go in the house. You want to go chase the chickens around, go torture the rooster, you know, they had a little farm, go play in the creek. But, oh, come. And always sit down. She always had to feed you. Always. Amen. That was her way of loving you. Amen. She used to come up and call me Richie. And I was always really, really skinny. I mean, I was skinny. I mean, if I turn aside, I mean, I was always the skinny kid. And she would always feel so bad for me. She'd grab my cheeks. Oh, I got to help you. You eat. Love you. Whenever we left Grandma's house, every time, she always had Hershey's candy bars. Amen. Before we left. I only stayed there for a couple hours. Kids. We all come, and Grandma reach in that apron pocket and pull out. You know what? I can still feel Grandma hugging me. She'd pull in that big old belly of hers and wrap you in her love. I can still feel that.
Amen.
Look, learn to love genuinely. Have genuine love for people. A sincere love. Where it's not all about, you know, them interrupting your life, your time. Be genuine. You want to leave something to your children, your grandchildren? Look, take some of these things. And look, when you're long gone, it'll help them in their decision making, their values. They'll look back and say, my grandfather feared God. My grandfather loved that book. That's really what's going to make. Look at that $20,000. It probably hurt them more than it'll help them.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it'll help them for a little while, and then it's gone, and then they're back to their old ways again. But really, if you want to make a difference in your children, your grandchildren, is learn to instill them the importance, the desire for God, a reverence for the Word of God. Just some things. How does it happen? It takes a lifetime. It's a pattern of them watching you. Whenever those grandkids come over, you talk about Jesus to them. You say something about Jesus to them, how precious He is. How's that happen? How do you instill that in them? Something by a pattern. It takes a while. You have to communicate that to them. They have to hear it. They've got to see it. I don't want my grandkids to see dust on the Bible.
That's good.
When they come over. I don't want them to come over and, oh, it looks like Grandpa's old Bible. You get dust on your Bible, you got dust on your heart.
That's right.
You keep that thing fresh. And you want to leave something to your children? You want to leave something behind? Look, don't worry about leaving $1 million. Leave something that has real value. A godly inheritance. And let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the people, the Christians, so many people that have lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, that have made a difference in our life. And Lord, oftentimes we don't even know who they are. They prayed for us. They prayed for our salvation. They believed God. They were maybe a senior saint in the church that was faithful, that was just always there. And that child that came to church always saw that senior saint. They were always in their place. And it made a difference. It made a difference in their values. You're here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your